Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. So last week I taught a simile from the Majjhima Nikaya, and I really like the similes of the Buddha because they have a lot of meaning that can be learned. So here's another simile, and this one's from Majjhima Nikaya 22. So this is the simile of the raft. By the way, there's two similes of the rafts, and you probably heard the simile of the raft where, you know, our mindfulness, when we practice it, it's like a raft. It takes us to the far shore. You know, when we keep remaining mindful, it's like we're paddling towards the other shore. Now that one is taught pretty, you know, regularly. This is the lesser known one. Okay, this the other simile with the raft. Okay, bhikkhus, I shall show you the Dhamma is similar to a raft, being for the purpose of crossing over, not for the purpose of grasping. Listen and attend closely to what I shall say. Yes, venerable sir, the bhikkhus replied. The Blessed One said this, Bhikkhus, suppose a man, in the course of a journey, saw a great expanse of water, whose near shore was dangerous and fearful, and whose further shore was safe and free from fear. But there was no ferry boat or bridge for going to the far shore. Then he thought, There is this great expanse of water whose near shore is dangerous and fearful and whose further shore is safe and free from fear. But there is no ferry boat or bridge for going to the far shore. Suppose I collect grass, twigs, branches, and leaves and bind them together into a raft. And, supported by the raft and making an effort with my hands and feet, I got safely across to the far shore. And then the man collected grass, twigs, branches, and leaves and bound them together into a raft. And supported by the raft, and making an effort with his hands and feet, he got safely across to the far shore. Then, when he had got across and had arrived to the far shore, he might think thus, This raft has been very helpful to me, since, supported by it, and making an effort with my hands and feet, I got safely across to the far shore. Suppose I were to hoist it on my head, or load it on my shoulder, and then go wherever I want. Now, bhikkhus, what do you think? By doing so, would that man be doing what should be done with that raft? No, venerable sir. By doing what would that man be doing what should be done with the raft? Here, bhikkhus, when that man got across and had arrived at the far shore, he might think thus, This raft has been very helpful to me, since supported by it, and making an effort with my hands and feet, I got safely across to the far shore. Suppose I were to haul it onto dry land, or set it adrift in the water, and then go wherever I want. Now, bhikkhus, it is by doing so that the man would be doing what should be done with the raft. So I have shown you how the Dhamma is similar to a raft, being for the purpose of crossing over, not for the purpose of grasping. Bhikkhus, when you know the Dhamma to be similar to a raft, you should abandon even the teachings. How much more so things contrary to the teachings? Okay, so this is a kind of an unexpected thing to hear in the suttas, where it's, okay, let me say that last bit again. Bhikkhus, when you know the Dhamma to be similar to a raft, you should abandon even the teachings. How much more so things contrary to the teachings. Okay, so Now, normally we hear a message kind of the opposite of this, which is like, well, we should study the suttas. Even better yet, memorize the suttas. And Ananda was famous for his ability to memorize all the teachings. He had almost like a superhuman ability to memorize. And many monks today also have this wonderful talent of memorizing. And but here's a rare, you could say, like a counterexample, where we're hearing, what? We should abandon the teachings? What do you mean, abandon the teachings? And it's saying, well, okay, but when you know the Dhamma to be similar to a raft, you know, like, let's say we do manage to practice well enough, we do manage to open our Dhamma eye, as they say, you know, we find that peace of heart, we find that brightness, we find that lovely kind of heavenly bliss we were always wanting to get out of all this practice. So that's like the other shore, right? And here the Buddha is basically saying, well, once you find yourself on that shore, you know, just enjoy it. Just dwell that way. So there is a, you know, it's okay to just set the teachings aside. Now, maybe later on, maybe that peace of heart will be lost. Maybe our practice sort of, you know, we don't make the efforts we need to, and we lose it again. Okay, well, maybe we do need to look at those teachings again and get that peace back again. You know, so there is this... I guess there's kind of like a, moderation we have to learn then, where we know when to apply efforts and when to relax in those efforts and just dwell in the goodness when it comes. There's another sutta called the Goldsmith. I won't read it out now because there's no time, but the Goldsmith is a good example of a sutta talking about when we should apply efforts and when we should relax those efforts once things are going well. Just like the way a goldsmith, you know, sometimes he has to heat the gold to get it to be very pliable, like very flexible, so he can make something out of it. But sometimes you should stop heating it. You just let it sit once it's hot enough. Yeah, so there is a... how can I put it? It is possible to make the mistake of just... you know, if we just keep applying too much effort when we should be relaxing. There is this, there's lots of similes about this balance. Another simile is the simile of the lute, where the Buddha says, a lute's like an instrument, like a guitar. And if we tighten the strings too tight, then it won't make the right sound. And if the strings are too loose, that won't be the right sound either. There's this middle amount of tightness, and that makes the nice sound. So then the trick is to build up a sense of moderation, you know, applying more efforts when necessary, but not overdoing it. And yeah, this sutta I just read to you about the raft, I really like how he points out there is such a thing as grasping even at the teachings. That's an interesting thing to think over. You know, obviously we need to have respect for the teachings and a willingness to learn them if we want these results that Buddhism promises, right? Nibbana or a heavenly rebirth, all these wonderful resultants. So there has to be some interest there. There has to be some respect there and efforts too. But it is possible to go too far and grasp them. It's possible to go too far and grasp them. Maybe a little example of this is before I ordained, I'll tell you a little story. Actually, this was even while I was ordained. Well, when I was still a junior monk, there was a new Buddhist forum which kind of started up on the internet called discourse.suttacentral.net. And this was like a free forum. Anybody could create a user. I also created a user there named Subaru. And it was really fun to discuss suttas and, you know, people would quote suttas. And but over time, oh, it took maybe a year or two for me to really see this, like, these discussions are with people you've never really seen in real life, almost all of them. You know, they're just kind of these random people, you know. Like I use the name Subaru, like, you know, that's actually my monk name. You know, people can Google search me, they can link this name Subaru to a real person with a face, and you know, I'm not hiding my identity, okay? But most of the people on that forum, or any Buddhist forum really, they tend to not use their real name. They will not really reveal who they are. They're kind of like anonymous. Oftentimes they will give themselves these very sort of idealistic names as well, you know, like they will be Buddhist words, and they're highly idealized. And they're usually suggestive about how they have attainments. You know, it's like, I am high attainment itself. You know what I mean? It's they usually have a name like this, eh? Whenever you see a username like that, there's probably going to be trouble. You know, and oftentimes they really know the suit as well. You know, they really demonstrate on that forum, like they can quote suttas, they know, you know, they can make very convincing arguments. They're, you know, they really get into the arguing, they really get into the technical details, and they really, you know. But sometimes they can get pretty, I don't know what you want to call it. Maybe just a little too egotistical in their attitude, even though they're not wrong in their arguments. You know, they get a little too eager to kind of be the winner, and eager to make others look bad. And yeah, there's actually a very nice Christian saying, I think, that captures this really nicely. It goes, even the devil knows how to quote scriptures. Okay, like the devil is like the bad guy in Christianity, just like, you know, Buddhism has Mara. Okay, Christianity's got the devil. Even the devil knows how to quote the scriptures. Like the devil can tell you what God said, and he's still bad, you know. Even though he quoted God's words, he, you know, the devil can take those words and twist them and kind of use them for evil, even though it sounds perhaps convincing, or sounds, yeah, okay, God did actually say that, you know, in the Bible, or whatever. The Bible says he said it anyway. Yeah, so there can be so I feel this, you know, I think the Buddha's kind of talking about this here when he talks about grasping. you know, we let's not carry the suttas on our head like a raft, a big heavy raft. That'd be silly. You know, nobody would do that. But if people begin to get a little too, you might say, egotistical around the teachings, they have grasped the teachings, you know. The teachings are just a raft to get to the other shore. But let's not hold ourselves back spiritually. Because we tried too hard there, you know, too much grasping. Yeah, so that to me is, how can I put it? I love this simile because I feel it brings a sense of balance to living a Buddhist life, you know, following a Buddhist path. And this is where all of the ease can be had, you know. If we do make enough effort, then we arrive at a place of ease. And that's good. That's a good thing. That is well deserved, you know, a little time of ease, you know. Some efforts will still be needed here and there, sure. But I feel that if we just made an effort all the time and never, you know, never stopped, you know, it's like as if we were sharpening a knife forever. We're just sharpening that metal, sharpen. We never stop once it's sharp. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to just grind that metal forever. That's too much sharpening, you know? Yeah. Okay. Well, all right, I think I've said enough. Any questions? No? Okay. Okay, let us now invite our departed relatives, friends, and all beings to rejoice in the merit we have made. Let us recite together. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang no nyatinang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang wo nyatinang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Eta wata cha amhehi. Sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Let us make an aspiration for Nibbana. Please repeat after me. Idang me punyang asawakaya wahang hotu. Idang me punyang Nibbanasa Pachayo Hotu. Suki Hotu, Suki Hotu, Suki Hotu.